is Cascadia Public Radio.
It's time. Let's go. Yeah. How you doing? This is Raymond with the Unbought and Unbossed Show, Canadian political news and views. This is show number 147. Today is November 11th, 2009. Unbought and Unbossed is an independent voice dedicated to presenting and dedicated to presenting and discussing the political and social issues most relevant to Canadian citizens. This show contends that 9/11 is counted a single most important issue because the self-inflicted attacks of 9/11 are being used as the justification for the current overthrow of our democratic and sovereign nationhood, turning Canada into a corporate-driven plutocracy. The official story of the 9/11 terror attacks and the ensuing war of terror are deeply troubling and are at the forefront of this radio program. I strongly encourage listeners to question what you think you know about today's world events and to analyze the motives behind our traditional news sources. Each week, new segments of Unbought and Unbossed offer further evidence for these incredible claims, which are either omitted or distorted by the mainstream corporate media. Turn your television off. You are being lied to and conditioned to accept this madness as our inevitable future. We must work to return the future of the human race to its rightful owners. That's you. Okay, friends, welcome to the show. We're going to be hearing from DJ Shadow and Ashley McIsaac right after this. Of course, that was Bruce Coburn with Actions Speak Louder. So, what do we have for you today? I have an in-studio guest with me tonight, Don Ward. Don Ward is a neuropathic therapist who specializes in chronic and degenerative conditions. Don has been a student of health for close to 30 years. He currently has an independent clinic here in town and also works at the Vitamin House on the Saturday and Sunday afternoons. The topic, there's going to be quite a few, but we're going to take a look at the myth and dangers of vaccinations. And we're going to weave in and out from there. So Don will be with us in maybe 5-10 minutes at tops. What else do we have? So Don clearly will be in the first hour. In the second hour, one of my heroes, Cynthia McKinney, speaking a war crime speech at the War Crimes Conference and Exhibition, which took place in Malaysia the end of October, just 2 weeks ago. Now there's Cynthia McKinney, a big hero of mine. She's a six-term member of the United States House of Representatives. She went on to run for president with the Green Party in 2008. So this is a pretty brave woman. She's going to go into quite a bit of the things that she's been doing the last couple of years, so I don't need to fill that in right now as a bio. However, I do want you to keep your ear out for a mention of Splitting the Sky. She talks about his arrest in Calgary earlier this year. Splitting the Sky will be in Nanaimo on November 29th at the Truth Convergence that I'm putting on, so you will get to see Splitting the Sky in person. Okay, other things. It is Remembrance Day, and this is a kind of a tough day for me. I don't like to say I have disrespect for today's soldiers, but I do. The older ones, maybe not so much, but the fellows that have taken part in this war of terror, oh boy, I'm not going to say that they're dumb. They're just really misinformed. And they're doing things for the wrong reasons, and that's really unfortunate. So I'm going to play a couple audio clips that, I can shut up about it a little bit, and we'll let other people fill in. So one of the things we're going to look at is 14 defining characteristics of fascism, according to Lawrence Britt. You know, the old boys went over to Europe to apparently fight fascism, and they don't seem to be recognizing it now in our own country. That's really unfortunate. The younger fellows and gals, I guess they just have made the tragic error of believing what their politicians and what the corporate media is telling them. That is a huge, huge problem. So, we're going to listen to that clip. Also, a new movie, Fall of the Republic, a documentary by Alex Jones. I'll tell you a tiny bit about it. Fall of the Republic documents how an offshore corporate cartel is bankrupting the U.S. economy by design. Leaders are now declaring that world government has arrived and that the dollar will be replaced with a new global currency. President Obama has brazenly violated Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution by seating himself at the head of the U.N. Security Council, thus becoming the first president to chair that world body. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. Some pretty frightening things that Alex brings up in this film. Another anti-war speech. I'm not too sure who the speaker is. And it was from a compilation. I just stole that one little clip of this young, very articulate woman. And it might be from a documentary called The Paradigm Shift. So those are some of the things we're going to be hearing tonight. Those would be in the second hour. What I have to do right now is to get on the weather update. So why don't I get the weather song on? Very nice. Okay, I've got two real short clips. Then we're going to get on to the interview with Don Ward. Again, looking at vaccinations, this H1N1 story, and some other things as well. So the first piece we're going to hear is this is prime, beautiful propaganda. This comes to us from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And it is Sid the Science Kid Gets the Flu Shot. So they're going to sing a song encouraging children to get some poison in the veins. And then we're going to hear from the Truther Girls. This is Sonia out of Montreal. And this is a fun little ditty of a song. It's called He Was a Hot CSIS Agent. CSIS is the Canadian Spy Agency, if you didn't know that. So let's get on with Sid the Science Kid Gets the Flu Shot. And He Was a Hot CSIS Agent by the Truther Girls. Okay, friends, stay tuned, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Kids, we're ready to roll. Stopping that virus, that's our goal. So come on, everybody, we're getting the shot. It might hurt a little bit,
just a little bit,
but it's gonna help a whole lot.
This vaccination is a great opportunity.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
To do something for yourself and your community.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
The virus won't spread if we don't let it.
So roll up your sleeves and come and get it.
If I don't get the virus, I won't give it to you.
If you don't give it to me, I won't give it to her.
If I don't get it from her, I won't give it to them.
That's true. If I don't get the virus, I won't give it to you.
Hey, kids, we're ready to roll. Stopping that virus, that's our goal. So come on, everybody, we're getting the shot. It might hurt a little bit,
just a little bit.
Better watch out, because you never know just who might be a CSIS agent.
Well, I met him outside the bar at 2:45. He said he was into truth and conspiracy theory. Well, I thought it was great to have some good company. So I took him to my place and he infiltrated me. He was a hot CSIS agent and he infiltrated me. He talked about 9/11 and the WTC. He said he was on a crusade to fight global tyranny. But he was a CSIS agent and he infiltrated me. He had no job and he had the nicest Audi. Joint and had some tea. Then I let him stay the night and he infiltrated me. He was
cease agent, and he infiltrated me. He was a hot cease agent, and he infiltrated me. He talked about 9/11 and the WTC. He said he was on a crusade to fight global tyranny. But he was a cease agent, and he infiltrated me.
Very nice, Sonia, with the Truther Girls. He was a hot CSIS agent, and he infiltrated her. And then we heard Sid the Science Kid gets the shot before that. And I made a rather large error when I was, as I misread my biography for Don Ward. It's a naturopathic, not neuropathic. Is that what I said, neuropath? Hey, welcome to the show, Don Ward.
Well, thanks, Raymond. Nice
Thank
to be
you
here.
Very much. So a little bit more of a biography. It says here you've been a student of medical theory and practice for 30 years, starting out in Calgary.
Not medical, no.
Not medical.
No, not medical. The difference is your medical doctors are what we refer to as allopaths. They work off a whole different theory than what naturopathics works off of. So
okay.
One's based on Newtonian physics and the other's based on Einsteinian physics is the basis of it.
Interesting. Okay.
Different lines of thinking, period.
Okay. Now, you've also traveled a fair bit learning your skills. And so do you want to tell us, you've been down in, you studied with a Mayan shaman.
Yeah.
A Mayan.
Yeah, basically, well, I was set up here in Canada for a while. And then eventually I had an opportunity to go to the Caribbean to open up a healing retreat in conjunction with a few other people. That fell through, unfortunately. That's a whole other story in itself. But in the meantime, I had opened up a clinic down there.
Okay.
And I was working a lot with the Native Mexicans and the Mayans. And so I was set up basically in a free clinic for quite a while. And three mornings a week, I would give my time freely to them. And in the process of that, that's where I met Don Luis, who was a Mayan shaman, and I had helped his wife, so I got to know him. And reluctantly, but eventually, he agreed to take me on as an apprentice, to my knowledge, I don't know of anybody else who's had that privilege.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it was very fascinating.
Neat. Who is it? Joe Hawkins, a chiropractor in Winnipeg. He was an early Canadian truther. He studied alternative medicine in that same neck of the woods as yourself. So that's
I can certainly understand why. Again, the Mayans have a very different outlook on how the body works, and it jived very closely with what I had known and what I was doing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so you currently have a clinic here in town. Very nice. Now, however, where we want to start off with is the topic of vaccines and vaccinations, the myths of, as well as the dangers of.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, of course, there's this huge operation going on right now to get as many people, well, worldwide, it seems, with various different shots. There's quite a few different makers, you know, the big pharma that are, you know, I guess being contracted out on a country-by-country
basis,
thank you. Now, Canada is a GlaxoSmithKline, I believe. Baxter's a big one in...
Baxter's in the United States. Sanofi Pasteur is big for Europe.
Okay.
Sanofi Pasteur is probably the biggest one. They're the pharmaceutical branch of the Rockefellers. Is that a disastrous branch, let me tell you.
Sure, sure.
They've killed a whole lot of people in their research.
Right, yeah.
What my position is basically, Raymond, is that protection from vaccination is a complete myth. There is no factual evidence that it's effective at all. In fact, the big medicine that really gets kudos is Jonas Salk's formula for polio. And so for years, the medical science has been basically saying, wow, look at the wonders we have done. Put it into perspective, when Jonas Salk died in the early 80s, his biggest regret was creating the polio virus.
Wow.
He felt it caused more harm than it actually cured. So, you know, the whole vaccination program is in question. It's touted as an absolute and the only answer, and that's where I get my knickers in a knot, because it's never been proven effective, and it's actually killing a whole lot of people, not only through research, but in application as well.
Okay.
The biggest problem with vaccinations is it does not give immunity. Immunity, natural immunity, only occurs through exposure to a contagious agent.
Right.
And the body learns to identify what it is, and it makes antigens against it, and it's permanent.
Yeah.
Vaccines, at best, at absolute best, are only a partial protection, because if they happen to get the right pathogen in the vaccine, or happen to target the right pathogen, then you get a limited protection at best for the course of maybe several months to 6 months. The reason being is because viruses in particular mutate so quickly that that's why we get the flu every different year, or every year the flu is a slightly different strain, because the viruses are mutating. So we don't get natural protection when we use the vaccination program. In fact, what we do get is massive inflammatory conditions associated through the vaccinations. And that, in fact, weakens our immune system.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
And then you have to get your shots every year, every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk to the people who are getting the shots, many of them are still getting sick anyways. Mm-hmm. So what's the point?
Okay, okay. Now, looking at numbers, the figures that I've been using is approximately 2,500 Canadians die of the flu every year. On average?
Yes, that would be about accurate. Anywhere up to about 3,000 in Canada.
Okay.
Yeah.
And currently we're at, give or take, 100 that they're attributing to the H1N1.
Ah, that's a key word, attributing.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
see, part of the problem is in the irresponsibility of the census gathering on these illnesses by Health Canada. What's happening is back in as early as August, they stopped actually testing for the H1N1.
That's right.
And so basically what they've been saying is that if you have these symptoms, stay home, call your doctor. What happens is you call your doctor and you say, gee, doctor, I've got a runny nose, my throat's sore, I've got a headache. And the doctor says, oh, you got H1N1, stay at home and do nothing.
Right.
You know. Then what he does is he turns around and notifies Health Canada, oh, we've got another H1N1 victim.
Okay.
He gets a financial incentive for that.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody. Buddy, he reports. There is no testing being done.
Right.
It's just conjecture is all.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the deaths that are sort of being reported in the newspapers and on TV. To my recollection, what they've said lately is that we're up to the 8th death in BC. Okay, let's assume for a second we are at 8 deaths.
Mm-hmm.
That's still way below the seasonal averages.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
That's before the vaccines have come out. Mm-hmm. So let's put this into perspective.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, perspective of the numbers. Yeah.
That's right. But the fact of the matter is nobody at anywhere has died of the H1N1, not one single verifiable mm-hmm. person.
Mm-hmm.
What they're reporting is that people are dying mm-hmm. and they've got the virus. But that's very different from dying of the virus.
Right.
That's a totally different thing completely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can, once if you've got a compromised immune system for one reason or another and it's overtaking you and you're exposed to the virus, you're going to get it.
Right.
Doesn't mean you're dying from that, though.
Sure. I was reading from a local CanWest newspaper this last week, and only one of the deaths, that person... was the only one that didn't have a prior fairly serious illness.
Yeah.
So, you know, the flu, as it has and will continue, will, you know, if you're weak to start with, you know, there's a chance that it could kill you. If you're healthy, it seems not so likely or very unlikely.
Well, there's two factors that make you susceptible to the flu to begin with. Right off the bat, you can knock... lower your risk by probably, arguably, somewhere between 50 and 60%. The first two factors are obesity and smoking.
Hmm.
So if you're obese, lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Start taking care of yourself, because it's stressing your immune system and making you susceptible to pathogenic invasion. If you're smoking, well, that just promotes the inflammation process in the body, tires out the body's defense mechanisms in the first place, and you have no defense.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an obese person who's smoking, goodbye. You
right.
know, you're on the front line.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. Do you know much of the early history to do with the vaccinations? I know you touched on a little bit. Could you spend a little bit more time there and how maybe it's I guess, okay. when it was accepted and kind of lead up to where we're at today, where that it seems to be the only
right.
solution being offered?
Right. Well, the vaccination program has been around really, it's been around significantly since about the early 40s, mid-40s, basically with the advent of penicillin and really good, strong antibiotics. Now, let me state first, before I go on, there's been about five or six drugs that have been created on the market, which are, I got to stand up and salute them. They have changed our lives as we know it. Penicillin is one. Aspirin is another one. I can't remember the exact four that others that are on that list, but
yeah.
Drugs aren't what I know. That's the first thing I have to state. I don't know a lot about drugs. The problem is that the good drugs have all run out on their patents. So what the drug companies are doing to maximize profits are trying to switch the public over to new drugs, mm. which they control patents on.
Right.
And most of these drugs are not good drugs.
Hmm.
All drugs are toxic and foreign to the body because they're synthetic in nature. And the body doesn't recognize synthetic compounds. It only recognizes organic compounds. So most of these synthetic drugs are, not most, they're all dangerous. Jesus. Look at all the advertising on TV. Take any morning where you've got all these drug commercials that come up. You watch the commercial, and the first 10 or 15 seconds is telling you all about the wonderful things of these drugs. They'll give you a four-hour erection. They'll free you of pain. They'll do this, that, or the other thing. But the thing is the last 15 to 20 minutes of the commercial are all warnings mm-hmm. of the dangers, of the side effects of these
right,
things.
Right.
And that's not even taking these drugs together. That's only taking the drug in its singularity.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no doubt that the danger of all these drugs. Now, we start talking about the vaccinations, and they're unproven, especially now, especially this year.
Okay.
You know, these drugs are not tested properly. So, and they don't test them in conjunction, and they don't test them on different age groups like they really should.
Okay.
There's a big difference between a 4 or 5 year old's immune system and a 45 year old's immune system.
Okay.
World apart.
Hmm.
So, the early drug programs or the early vaccination programs have been acclaimed as being very, very successful. But that's not what's eradicated disease. The things that we've done that have eradicated disease more than vaccinations are proper sanitation and proper nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right now, and to give that validity, 2 years ago, the WHO vaccinated all sorts of African children against measles and hepatitis. They did a massive program 2 years ago to vaccinate all these children. But because they're all malnurtured and they're sick to begin with, as soon as they were given these shots, 30% of the kids who were given these shots died.
Wow.
Because their immune system is knocked out to begin with.
Yeah.
Number two, it's not there because they are young and supposed to be developing an immune system. You only develop it when you've got a properly nurtured body and you're exposed to the agents.
Mm-hmm.
So when they gave these denutured kids shots against measles and hepatitis, it overwhelmed their immune systems and just wiped them out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good thing.
Right, right.
So the vaccination programs don't work at all. As a matter of fact, there are even, I don't really want to get off on that line too much, but there's evidence out there that the vaccination program was what started AIDS in both North America, in New York and San Francisco, and in Africa, again, through the WHO,
mm-hmm.
again, through their measles program.
Right, right.
So I'm really questioning what any of these so-called authorities are telling us about these drugs and telling us that mm-hmm. they're safe.
Yeah. Well, Canada Health has admitted at least once that I've read that they don't have the results from the vaccine. That, you know, it hasn't, they don't know exactly what's going to happen
yeah.
to you and I if we were to get the shot.
Well, they do know. They're just not telling us
because
it's not in our interest.
Okay.
Okay. Understand something, that up until this year, it took 10 years to develop a drug. To get from the time of developing a drug to getting it on the market.
Hmm.
Now we're doing it in like 10 weeks, 10 and 12 weeks, and these are time bombs about ready to go off.
Hmm.
To put it into perspective, drugs kill so many people every year that there's a term for it called iatrogenic death.
Hmm.
In naturopathics, we don't have a term for anything like that because what we do doesn't kill people.
Right.
But drugs are toxic. It kills so many people that we have a term for it. You got to got to get that across.
Death by medicine, yeah.
Death by medicine. Now, in defense, iatrogenic death doesn't only take medicine into consideration. It also takes doctor error. But when these doctors are only given two tools to deal with, and that's surgery and drugs, there's bound to be a whole lot of error. You know what I mean? You're dealing with toxic substances.
Okay.
I forgot where I was going with that one. I'm sorry. Iatrogenic death, yeah. So last year alone, what happened was Big Pharma paid out over $1.4 billion in North America alone. We're not talking worldwide. We're just talking likely Canada and the States, because in Mexico you can't sue for these things.
Okay.
Between Canada and the United States, Big Pharma paid out $1.4 billion in wrongful death suits. Now, that's $1.4 billion. The second bill that Obama passed when he got into power made it illegal for Big Pharma for recourse against their drugs.
Right, right.
So if they spent $1.4 billion last year, do you think they're going to tighten their ship at all and be more responsible this year?
Right.
I don't think
when
so.
When they're given a free pass.
When they're given a free pass. No, it's just not logical.
Mm.
So that's another another thing to consider is vaccinations are an uninsurable risk. Now, to put that into perspective, Lloyd's of London will insure anybody for anything except vaccinations. That's the only criteria they have. They will not sue you against wrongdoing from vaccinations because there's no evidence that you won't have wrongdoings.
Right, right. Wow. Well, I know if you're a soldier, part of being a soldier means you've signed your rights away, and I believe most every case, and it also seems that they're the guinea pigs in a lot of cases for...
To a great degree, yes. What I think it is just the bureaucracy. I don't really think they're guinea pigs. I just think the Big Pharma makes a lot of money off the Department of Defense, their contracts, because they don't think about it that much. They're sheep. You know, if you're part of the military, you don't have a mind. You have to do what Big Brother tells you to do.
Yeah.
So the lobbyists from Big Pharma get in there. They influence the military thinking. And so right now, that's the only avenue they have for protection is medicinals. And that's what's poisoning many of our soldiers. What do you think Gulf War syndrome is? That's a massive inflammatory condition of the nervous system due to the Tamiflu in these shots that these soldiers are getting.
I understand squalene, the ingredient squalene might also...
Squalene is even worse, but it's not in all of these.
Okay.
Let me tell you a little bit about how vaccines are made. If you're going to make a vaccine, what you do is you take a virus, human virus. You put it in a chicken protein. Because they want the virus to replicate into the chicken protein. But because the chicken is different than us, it's going to be, in theory, the virus is going to be weakened. But the problem is that if there's already a virus in that protein, the virus you're introducing can actually mutate with that one. And that's where we're getting swine flus mixing with avian flus, mixing with human flus. The only place something like this can happen is in a laboratory. It doesn't happen in nature.
Right, that's what I understand.
That's right. And that's another relative point. So they stick these viruses into a protein, like a chicken protein, and then they add other ingredients to it. They put in formaldehyde. They put in aluminum. They put in mercury. They put in antifreeze. And then when they've got what they consider a weakened viral strain at this point, they mix it with an adjuvant, like squalene. That's what squalene is. What squalene is actually is shark oil. And when you ingest this essential fatty acid, which is what it is, it's the body recognizes it and does wonderful things with it. And it's a really, really good nutrient for the body. What the body will do with squalene is it... takes it and will store it around nerve sheaths, so it protects the sheaths of nerves.
Okay.
Now, that's when you ingest it normally. But when you start injecting things into your bloodstream, then and you bypass your digestive system, then what happens is you get foreign agents into the bloodstream. And what happens is you get what is called an overreaction by the body, which is called a cytokine.
That's a tough one, eh?
That's a tough one. What happens is you get a major inflammatory response by the body. And the body will go after the stored squalene. And it'll kill the squalene in the, or it'll attack the squalene in the in the circulation system. But most importantly, what it does is it'll learn to that squalene is an enemy, and it'll start attacking the stored squalene, and that's in the base of nerves, as I say. So what happens is you get a massive inflammatory process that irritates the nerves. That's what Gulf War syndrome is. Oftentimes, that's what fibromyalgia is. Not all the time. But it's what multiple sclerosis is. It's what autism is. It's what ADHD is. It's massive inflammatory conditions, and they're all stimulated by these vaccinations.
Hmm.
So what can happen is you can get a vaccine without squalene. Squalene is what we call an adjuvant. It just means that when you put an adjuvant in a medication, you don't need as much medication. So it makes it go further.
Okay.
And that's cheaper for big pharma, sure. But not as good for us. So you can either get an adjuvanted shot, or you can get an unadjuvanted shot. But then what happens is if your shot isn't adjuvanted, then they put much more mercury in it, up to 10 times as much mercury.
Hmm.
So that's, again, a whole other host of problems.
Right. What is the purpose for the mercury?
The mercury is an antimicrobial, so that basically it doesn't get moldy.
Hmm.
And so you don't get other bacterial growths or mold or yeast growing in it. Okay. That's all it is in theory, to keep it contaminated. But if you need to be told that mercury isn't harmful to you, then maybe you need more shots. Then, you know, I mean, in this day and age, if you don't think mercury is harmful to you, then light up another cigarette, you know. Same thinking.
There you go. There you go. So, clearly you don't want to see people in your community taking the shot that Health Canada is offering.
Well, I'm less concerned that people take it, quite honestly. I'm more concerned that it's mandated that we have to take it. That's my biggest fear. I believe everybody needs to make up their own mind. They shouldn't be told by me what to do. They shouldn't be told by a doctor what to do. They shouldn't be told by the government what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be able to educate themselves and make a choice for themselves. But what really concerns me here is we're heading into a fascist state where they're going to mandate that we get these shots. And the ones that are most at risk from getting any of these shots are our children who don't have established immune systems. Their immune systems are developing, so they're more susceptible to inflammation and problems as a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sickly, the obese, and anybody else with any prior condition, basically.
Right.
So we're most of us who are eating well or living well and are basically healthy, quite likely the vaccines won't do you a whole lot of harm. But darn, if you've got kids and you want to keep them alive through all this, my advice to you is do an alternative. There are so many alternatives out there, and that's what's not being discussed.
Okay, good. Do you want to discuss that?
Oh, okay.
What would you suggest? Yeah,
yeah.
Before we go to something new?
Okay, yeah. Let's look at it. The way the body defends itself against disease is it develops vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
We make vitamin D by having our skin exposed to the sun. So consequently, like, that's why right about this time of year, the flu season technically comes. The reason being is we haven't been out sunbathing for 2 to 3 or more months. So consequently, our body runs out of its store of vitamin D. As that happens, we become susceptible to pathogens.
Okay.
So the first order of business is simply start taking vitamin D on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
You're worried about your children? Give them 2,000 to 3,000 international units of vitamin D daily. An adult can take upwards to 5,000 or 6,000 or 7,000 very safely.
Okay.
And then if they do get sick, take upwards to about 10,000 a day.
Now, a lot of foods are fortified with vitamin D. Of course, milk.
No, that's false.
Okay.
Yeah, they are fortified. But unfortunately, the form of vitamin that they're fortified with tends to be synthetic. And again, like I said earlier, the body doesn't recognize synthetic compounds. It only recognizes organic compounds.
Okay.
So if it's D3 that it's fortified with, great. But if it's not, it has to be D3 specifically. That's an organic compound, vitamin D.
Okay.
The problem with these fortified foods is they pasteurize them or strip them of any nutrient they have, and then they put synthetic compounds into them. And that's not fortification. That's toxicity.
Okay, good. Okay, so vitamin D.
Vitamin D is the first thing to take. The second thing to take is colloidal silver.
Okay, yeah.
Colloidal silver is rather controversial because it works, and it's non-patentable. So the drug companies don't like it because it could really interfere with their profits.
Okay.
I've taken colloidal silver for many, many years. I take it religiously every day. My family takes it religiously every day because it's what keeps us healthy.
Okay. Now, it's a liquid. Do you gargle with it, or how do you take it?
You drink it.
I
produce it, actually. I make it and sell it through my clinic. I sell it through a few health food stores as well. What it is it's distilled water with nano-sized particles of silver. Now, silver will keep pathogens from replicating. So the viruses will just live out and then die rather than replicating and allowing future generations.
Okay.
So that's why it's so important. It works on viruses, bacteria, yeasts, and that's about it. And some higher pathogens like amoebas, but primarily, bacteria and viruses and yeast is what it kills.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the most important things that one can use.
Hmm.
There's a whole list of other things. Another product that is wonderful is cellular energy. This is a food-grade hydrogen peroxide.
Hmm.
Again, it's a controversial topic or a subject. Product, sorry. Simply because it works.
Hmm.
And it's funny, when it's the products that work that tend to create the most controversy.
Right.
Again, it's non-patentable. You ask your doctor about taking hydrogen peroxide and he'll have a knip fit. You know, oh my God, don't take hydrogen peroxide. It's poison. You know, that's what they believe.
It's what they're told in medical school.
That's what they're told. And, of course, since very few of them don't study nutrition, they don't see anything further than that, and they're brainwashed, so they don't learn for themselves what works or what doesn't work. But the fact of the matter is the body produces hydrogen peroxide in two places. White blood cells produce it to kill pathogens in the bloodstream. And the friendly bacteria in the gut, in the cecum in particular, create it to kill unfriendly bacteria and yeast to keep it in balance in the intestines.
Mm-hmm.
So logically, if the body creates it, it can't be harmful to you when taken properly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can take it, if you were to take it topographically, you'd use a 3% solution. I take it internally at a 10% solution. You can, at 90% solution, it's rocket fuel. So, you know, at too high a concentration, it burn you right out. It would not be a good thing.
Right.
But when taken properly, what it does is it basically oxygenates your bloodstream, and pathogens can't exist in it.
Hmm.
So it's particularly beneficial to both your digestive system and your bloodstream, which are your two main systems of defense against pathogens.
Good. Yeah. Thanks. I had not. I was unaware of that information.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now you talked about your weight, food intake, smoking. I imagine you could give a lecture on drinking too much as well.
Well, the biggest problem with drinking, pure and simply, is that what alcohol is in any form is sugar. It's mm-hmm. what it is. It's the most potent form of sugar there is. So when you take, like, for an ounce of liquor or an ounce of alcohol, what that means is you're getting a very high potency form of sugar, and it goes right into the bloodstream immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what sugars do is feed inflammation. They promote inflammation.
Hmm.
And inflammation is natural. The body needs the inflammatory process for dealing with pathogens. That's what happens. You get a viral or a bacterial overload, and what happens is you get a fever, or you get a localized inflammation. And that's your body's defense mechanism for burning these pathogens out. The problem is when you have too much of a sugar intake, the body gets to be inflamed so much that it doesn't have the fuel. It runs out of the fuel for turning the inflammation off. So the fuel it needs for turning the inflammation off is omega-3. And most of us don't get sufficient amounts of omega-3 in our diet. So once the inflammatory condition starts, it can't shut off, and then you get exposed to a pathogen, and you get overwhelmed. It's that simple.
Okay. Okay. I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to the Unbought and Unbossed show on CHLY. We're in discussion right now with Don Ward, a naturopathic therapist who specializes in chronic and degenerative conditions. Do you want to add anything to that? Is that accurate?
That's about right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, good. So we've been discussing the myths and dangers of vaccines, also some natural alternatives to getting a flu shot. This is kind of a complex topic here because the World Health Organization plays a big role in this. From what I understand, they've rewritten the definition of what a pandemic is.
Yes.
It no longer is one that kills many, many people. It's one that could possibly, potentially do that.
Yes.
And there's obviously a huge difference.
Very big.
They called this H1N1 thing a level 6, you know, which the lights were flashing red and, you know, get ready to your family to drop dead all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And no one died.
And that's not happening.
Yeah.
So what's up with the World Health Organization? Why would they say this?
They're saying it because what they're doing is preparing us for the one world government, and that's what they're doing right now.
Uh-huh.
So it's classic intelligence, if you want to call that, military intelligence design. What they do is they create a scare, get you all panicky, and then say, hey, we have the answer for it. And that's they're just getting us so used to being in fear mode all the time. So that we become susceptible and stop thinking for ourselves and run around thinking the sky's falling. I think the WHO should change their name to the Chicken Little Corporation myself.
Okay.
I believe, quite frankly, they're quite destructive and quite evil. They're nothing but bureaucrats. They are not well-informed. They're not well-informed entities. They're bureaucrats who get positions, and once they've got their positions, they keep their positions. That's even more dangerous than our elected people in this country, because at least the elected people you can get out. But once you find incompetence in these organizations where there's nothing but bureaucrats running it, they run rampant.
Mm-hmm.
And they get worse. So anyways, what the WHO is attempting to do is pave the way for the one world government, the one world banking system, and that's their modus operandi right there.
Okay. The way I see this flu scare playing out is, I'll give a best and a worst case scenario. The best case scenario is that Big Pharma is laying a really big trick on the planet, and they're working with WHO, World Health Organization, and you know they're going to get absolutely fantastically wealthy off of giving the entire planet a shot.
Yes,
that I think is the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is that it's a form of population control.
If you want to get off onto the politics of it, it is quite likely part of the eugenics program. I was trying to stay away from that because I don't really want to get off on the conspiracy angles because then people miss the message, you know what I mean? But basically, yes. The problem is, in a nutshell, that these people are, their thinking is based on eugenics and believing that the population of the world needs to be brought under line. Again, this is really stinking thinking. As I was saying to you earlier before we were on the air, it's well established that's just wrong. It's just wrong thinking. To think that the world is overpopulated is wrong. It's not that we're overpopulated. The problem lies in our MO, the way we're doing things, our burning of carbon fuels, our farming practice, our monoculture farming practices, the fact that we use so many drugs in our bodies and out of our bodies.
Mm.
We use them in our foods. We put them in our farming practice. Everything we're doing is destroying that around us. If we were to start living with more care, we could. This world would hold a whole lot more people than we got now. As I was telling you before the show, we know that to keep one person alive through basic sustained farming techniques, it takes 1/4 acre of land per person per year. Based on the number of people we got right now, if we were to give 1/4 acre of land to everybody in the world, say in Australia, we wouldn't even fill up the continent of Australia. Half of Queensland would still be free land. So that puts it into perspective to tell us that there is plenty of land in the world if we learn to live properly rather than consume so much and living in this strange system we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
So if we got our thinking together, then the world isn't going to be, then we don't need to cull the population. If we're going to continue in the method we're going in now, yes, we can't continue. We couldn't continue probably with 100,000 people, if you ask me.
Hmm.
Once you start polluting your world, and if it's the way we're doing it with chemicals and whatnot, there's no coming back from it.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Let's see. The Ukrainian plague.
Yes.
Let's jump into that. Now, that I've been receiving emails, but yeah. I haven't been spending a whole lot of time learning exactly what's going on there, other than an awful lot of people are getting sick, and as well as quite a few people are dying.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about this Ukrainian plague that's going down right now?
Well, I don't have all the answers, but I will tell you that, again, this causes me to pause and raise question about what's in the mind of the so-called elite or the powers that be. They're running around claiming the sky's falling with the H1N1 and nobody's dying. And yet, in Ukraine, and actually in quite possibly in two other parts of the world, we're having, what do I want to call it? I can't think of quite the right word. We're having some odd circumstances show themselves, shall we say, before all the facts are in. I don't want to call it
pandemic
or anything. No, people are dying. More people have died in Ukraine in the last 10 to 15 days than have died in the last 3 months of the flu.
Mm, yeah.
What's happened is
we got a phone call. Do you want to take a call?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that. So grab your headset. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hey there, Raymond. It's Wayne Pronte.
Wayne Pronte. How you doing, brother?
Hey, good, man.
Good, good. Thanks for calling. I'm sorry, carry on.
Yeah, is your guest still with you?
Yeah, Don's here.
Okay, because I'm on the Internet, so it's a bit of a delay there.
Okay, yes.
Really great information. I've heard a lot of good stuff that I definitely agree with. Just have to make one thing, though.
Okay.
In that you said that, you know, you're probably going to be okay if you get the shot. I take total umbrage with that statement because there's a lot of reports we're getting now. From various sources that people are experiencing negative side effects. We're seeing a lot of reports now about pregnant women having spontaneous miscarriages and so on. We're seeing cardiac damage, all kinds of stuff now being reported. And of course, a lot of this has to do with squalene. And one of the things that you have to know about squalene is that, yeah, it does, It hypes up your immune system, basically, right? Increases the immune reaction.
It causes a cytokine storm.
Right, and it will cause a cytokine storm. So if you're a person who is taking all these supplements and doing all the right things that you're supposed to do and then go get the shot, it's actually going to make things much worse for you, increasing the chances of having a cytokine storm. So something you have to be mindful of, and that's one of the reasons why I have been for many months now fighting this threat of forced vaccinations, because there's a lot of people out there who do take care of themselves, and who are unlikely to get the virus.
And they're not getting sick.
Right. Yeah. And yet, once you've got the vaccination, and it does have a live attenuated virus, you can start shedding that virus and infecting other people with it, right? Basically creating the pandemic that they keep hyping.
That's
so.
That won't happen if you get the vaccine. That will happen if you get the nose spray.
The nose spray. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
The problem is that's a live virus.
Yeah. But I don't want to take up your time, but I will let you know that we've got a website we put up a couple months ago. It's canadiansforhealthfreedom.org. And you might want to check that out, see some of the information we've posted recently, and you're quite welcome to contribute there. And I'm also the webmaster of falseflagflu.com. So we've got
wonderful. I'll check that out.
Very
all
nice.
Right.
I appreciate it, Wayne.
Okay, have a good night.
Thank you, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Good day. Yeah, Wayne's been doing as much as he can, collecting information. He's organizing information shares in Vancouver concerning the H1N1 scare. He's calling it a false flag flu.
Oh, yeah.
I've invited him to speak in at the conference I'm putting on the false flag flu situation.
Oh, yes.
So he's been, gathering information full-time on this situation for, quite a few months now. And so good for him. And,
excellent.
Yeah, okay. Now,
back to Ukraine.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. That's right. Very good.
What's been happening there is really questionable because the information we're hearing about it is all misinformation. And what's really questionable about it is that you would think that if Health Canada or the WHO had our common interests in our health at heart, this would be front page news, not the bullshit that they're trying to put us through right now with the H1N1. What happened was, in I think it was August of this year, there was a man, a microbiologist by the name of Moshe, Dr. Moshe. I think it was M-O-E-S-H-E, I think is the spelling. But I'm one of the world's worst spellers, so don't hold me to that. Anyways, Dr. Moshe came forward, and it was down in L.A., and he called the a branch of the government, I believe it was the Department of Health, and he says he's a microbiologist, and he's got evidence that Baxter Pharmaceutical, you may remember Baxter Pharmaceutical about 5 months ago, sent a live virus to 28 different labs around the world trying to start a pandemic. Same Baxter Chemicals. Anyways, he claimed that Baxter Chemical was using bioweapons in the Ukraine. So what was happening was as soon as he made the phone call, he was an American-Israeli citizen, a dual citizen. And he was in L.A., he made the phone call, and then he was heading to the Israeli embassy. By the time he got to the Israeli embassy, he was, I don't know what word to use, attacked by dozens of police. He was attacked in his car. You can see it on the internet. It's stunning what they did. They attacked him and pulled him out of the car, and you haven't really heard from him since. Now, the interesting thing is microbiologists have been dying by the score all over the world in the last 4 to 6 months. I think my wife pulled up a figure of something like 80. Something like this, have all of a sudden have died of suicide or strange accidental deaths or disappeared. All microbiologists, very interesting. Anyways, what he claimed, what Moshe claimed, was that Baxter is using bioterror weapons in the Ukraine. Well, between August and now, there have been unknown, they're not really saying what it is, but there's been a pneumonic plague breaking out. Now, pneumonic plague is a virus that basically attacks the lungs, and then the response by the lungs is so great that you actually drown. Mm-hmm. The mortality rate is something like 92 or 95%. You'll be very lucky to survive this. When I first heard about this, 35 people had died. That was last week. The figure I heard this morning was 172. So people are dying in far greater numbers in the Ukraine alone from this, whether it's a bioweapon or whether it's something else, I don't know.
Okay.
But it's certainly coincidental when the whistleblower sits there and says, look, this is a problem, it's happening in this area, and within 2.5 months, a problem of untold magnitude pops up in that area. It certainly causes one to pause and look at what's happening.
Okay.
So if they're accurate, if Moshe is accurate, then what it is, it's a virus that's attacks the lungs and causes pneumonic plague. Coincidentally, there are other reports on the internet that the same thing has happened in China and the same thing has happened in India. But we're not hearing about it on mainstream news.
No, we're certainly not.
So I'm less sure about the other two events in China or in India, but from what I've seen in Ukraine, this is quite verifiable. The interesting thing, too, is they're reacting with such a knee-jerk reaction here in North America at the threat of an H1N1 pandemic. There's, as I repeat, nobody dying, but there's a threat of it, and they're talking about martial law. Now, here in the Ukraine, over 172 people have died, and they figure close to a million right now are infected with it, but they're not even closing the airport or closing the border. Mm. They're not doing anything
to
contain
this. What you
think
they would do, yeah.
You know, come on. This is, if your job is to contain plagues or outbreaks or pandemics, and you're hearing about this and not doing anything, makes me really question what the hell you're doing in the first place.
Yeah.
All I know is whatever they're doing, they're not telling us the truth.
Hmm.
But then again, when has the government on any form ever told us the truth?
Yeah. Okay, well, we're nearing 9 o'clock here. What I think I'm going to do, I've got a couple ads that I need to play, and then we'll discuss how we're going to play out the rest of our interview.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, very nice. We're in discussion with Don Ward, a naturopathic therapist who specializes in chronic and degenerative conditions from Nanaimo here, and... what are we listening to? We're listening to the Unbought and Unbossed show on CHLY. I'm going to play a couple ads here, and I'll be back shortly after that. Okay, welcome back. Don Ward, you were suggesting that it'd be a good idea to kind of quickly re-explain what you can do as an alternative to getting the vaccination shot.
Okay, before I leave, that's what I'd really like to get across is two important things. One, what you can do to boost your immunity and not get the illness. And the second thing is what to do if you get ill. So firstly, to reiterate, if you get, or to prevent yourself from, or your kids in particular, what you need to be doing is giving them daily doses of vitamin D. For any kid under, say, 80 pounds, you can give them up to about 2 tablespoons a day. 2,000 international units a day of vitamin D. Adults need upwards to about 5,000.
Okay, now let's say, do we want to get that from our grocery store or health food? Break that down a little bit.
Okay, that's a product you can get from any health food store.
Okay.
On that note, probably the best place that I can think of to get it is Vitamin House up at the North End in the Canadian Tire Mall, mostly because I'm associated with them, and I know the staff there. I know that they're all very knowledgeable, and you go in there for answers, and you'll get the right answers.
Now, what's the difference between that and the no-name that you get at London Drugs, let's say, of vitamins?
Okay, the difference is if you go to London Drugs or you go to I shouldn't pick on Costco, but you go to any place other than a vitamin store to get your supplements, and the problem is you're going to end up buying cheaper synthetic vitamins,
okay.
And they're not as bioavailable to the body. So if you want to do yourself right, go to a good established health food store.
Right. Okay, thank you.
First thing, vitamin D. Second thing, colloidal silver. Absolutely imperative. It is the most powerful antibiotic, antiviral, antiseptic, and anti-yeast agent known. There's no other. It'll actually even kill the staph, streptococcus virus, and a staph infection. There is no medication on the market that will actually do that, yet colloidal silver will.
And it comes in liquid?
It's a liquid. You basically put about a tablespoon in any of your water or your juice, anything you're going to drink.
Okay.
I take upwards to about 3 tablespoons a day, just as basic maintenance.
Okay, thank you. So okay. Colloidal silver.
The third thing is a product called cellular energy. It's a food-grade hydrogen peroxide. And what that will do is that it will kill pathogens in the lungs and in the gut and in the bloodstream. Very powerful. Those are the next thing you want to be doing is watching your nutrition. Very important. Avoid those sugars. Stop drinking pop. Stop eating junk food. I know I must sound like your brother at this point, but the problem is these kind of foods are denatured and will actually rob the body of its vitality and its immune system. It's not going to build it. So when you get exposed to any of these pathogens, you're going to be susceptible. The last thing you need to do is basically consider internal cleansing. That's what I specialize in my clinic. Clean the bloodstream, the lymph stream, the digestive system. Basically how it works is pathogens can only exist in a low oxygen environment and a high acid environment. That's your pH. So if you alter your pH, you get it back from sugars make your body very acidic, high pH. Sugars cause an acidic condition. So what you want is an alkaline bloodstream. So you alkalinize the bloodstream. That's what the cellular energy helps do. You get rid of the acids in the digestive system. You get rid of the toxic buildup, and then the body will naturally achieve homeostasis, which is health.
Right. Now, would that be through various fasting types of diets, or
you can do it both nutritionally and therapeutically. Okay. I work in both methods, modalities. I help people nutritionally, and then for those who are a little sicker or need a quicker, more immediate relief, I do internal cleansing through a process called colonic hydrotherapy. What that does is that cleans up the digestive system of toxic matter.
Very nice. I got a Tic Tac here if you want to suck on something there. So, very nice. Now, you're also interested in a lot of, I guess, kind of conspiratorial ideas that we didn't really get into today, but I know that you share an interest in that.
As I was telling you earlier, my father was very high up in security in Canada, and one of the things he taught me was a very, very acute awareness that the government is not there for our best interest and will lie to us implicitly. And that multimedia is totally controlled, so if you're relying on your information on what's happening out there through standard multimedia, well, you're being lied to and you're totally uninformed.
Yeah.
So I spend a lot of time trying to find the truth, if you will, from whatever source I can.
Right, right.
So I'm not restricted to TV or newspaper or magazines and the like to find out what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm. It is fascinating, too. I don't watch TV. I get very agitated quickly. You don't want to be around me when the TV's on. But I do read the newspapers and see their headlines, and it's very important to see what they want us to think.
Yes. Direction they're trying to steer us in.
Yeah, and they're certainly pushing the vaccination and the flu fear.
Yeah.
Especially on the CanWest, which owns pretty much all the newspapers in this part of Canada.
Well, it's to their interest to keep you scared. You keep buying more newspapers, and it keeps you off balance, so you don't think for yourself if you're in fear mode.
Yeah.
I mean, fearful people will believe anything.
Yeah. Well, they'll go to war and steal another country's resources.
That's right.
And it's Remembrance Day, and I need the people out there listening to remember that there's a lot of misinformed Canadian soldiers doing some real nasty things on someone else's land.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's I'm making sure that the listeners don't forget that, and that's through the brainwashing and the propaganda. This whole phony war of terror.
Oh yeah.
Is something I can't let go, and.
Well, so, war on anything doesn't work. That's the bottom line.
The war on drugs, the war of terror. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I think that we're just about finished for today then, Don.
Well, thank you for having me in, Raymond.
Absolutely, thank you. And we'll come back, do it again another time, and we can look at some other topics that we share interest in.
Wonderful.
Very nice.
No shortage of topics to complain about.
Very nice. Okay, my friend, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to put a song on, so stick around for a minute, and then I'll see you out, or hell, you can hang out for the rest of the show. You can do whatever you want. Within reason, of course. So that has been Don Ward, a naturopathic therapist who specializes in chronic and degenerative conditions. I'm going to play a song right now that I just heard for the first time this last week, and my buddy Tom turned me on to. It's the White Stripes' Jolene. And Dolly Parton had a huge hit, I think it was 74. Anyway, so Jack White, what an intense fellow. It's kind of neat that he hasn't made, he's not a popular face, and I have a feeling that he's just too intense and he's not willing to sell his musical genius. And so we're going to hear this cover version of Jolene, and damn it, it's pretty intense. And that night, Tom and I, we're watching all the different versions of Jolene that the White Stripes have done, and I've been playing the song out to death. I don't know if you can wear out an MP3, but if it was a record, I would have wore it out. Okay, so we're going to hear Jolene by the White Stripes, and then we're going to get back. I've got a bunch of audio pieces that are going to focus, I guess, on the misdirection that we're in right now. And again, I'm going to try to tie that into Remembrance Day. So you enjoy this song here, and I'll be back in a minute. Okay, friends, be well.
Jolene, 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 and I beg it of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can. About you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene.
I might as well take this chance to talk for a moment about the conference that I'm putting on at the end of the month. I'm calling it the 2009 Truth Convergence Project Uncensored. It is six speakers, six different topics, one thing in common: urgent information our governments and mainstream media ignore and distort. Being informed is our best defense. In the first half, there's three speakers in each half. First one, Nick Versteeg. A documentarian, he's going to be talking about food security issues. Then Wayne Pronte, a researcher and organizer, and the webmaster of falseflagflu.com. And then William Thomas, an author and lecturer. He's going to be looking at the dangers of cell phones, and with a lecture he's calling Cell Phones Out of the Box, Reflections on the Wireless Revolution. And in the second half of the program, we're going to be listening to Kevin Annett. He's the minister whistleblower, speaking on genocide, both local and global. Paul Grignon, the documentarian, creator of Money as Debt, a film I suggest you check out for free online. He's going to be speaking on money. Is it our jailer or liberator? And lastly, to Bring It All Back. We'll be Splitting the Sky, the Mohawk activist, writer, actor. And he's going to be talking about exposing the Bush-Cheney cabal and speaking on war criminals, both past and present. So that is Sunday, November the 29th at Vancouver Island University, building 355, room 203, $20 all day. Tickets at the door only. And, yeah, I'm not supplying any food for you guys, so bring a lunch to enjoy at halftime, and I'll give you about an hour to do that. Okay, very nice. That's our campus community update. So where we are going to go now? Oh, yes, okay, this is a good one. Cynthia McKinney, a real hero, someone who is deserving of winning the Nobel Peace Prize, not like a certain U.S. president who's increasing massively their troops in war, and, well, giving so much money to the bankers that it is really amazing. So he was rewarded with the Peace Prize for putting America in perpetual debt, I suppose. Okay, so Cynthia McKinney, I've got a lot of respect for this lady, and you're going to listen to she explained some of the things that she's been doing over the last couple of years, and very amazing stuff. And she was speaking at a war crimes conference and exhibition that took place in Malaysia, October the 28th. Again, keep your... she talks about splitting the sky. Quick bio here. Cynthia McKinney, as a member of the Democratic Party, she served six terms as a member of the United States House of Representatives. Georgia, I believe, was the state she was representing. However, in 2008, she was a member of the Green Party, and they nominated her for to be president of the United States. That did not happen, unfortunately. So let me see. In 2002, McKinney served as a commissioner in the Citizens Commission on 9/11. Yeah, she was one of the very, very few politicians, active politicians, to say, we got a problem with this story, guys, and let's do something about it. Well, they found a way to get her out of her seat, and let's see, what else? Okay, well, we'll leave that at that. So that's what you're going to listen to now. Cynthia McKinney talking about war crimes speech, and, oh, how do I want to tie this into Remembrance Day? Well, perhaps we'll just let Cynthia speak her words, and she does it very well. So that's what you're going to listen to for the next little while, friends. And following that, oh no, I've got a commercial. It's from a company called HealthLink, and they want to put a radio frequency identification chip, an RFID Verichip, into your body. So you can be tracked anywhere on the planet. And but where they're going is saying that, it'll also have your health records on it. So just think, you know, you can pass out and we just have to scan you and all your health records are there. That's, so don't get the chip, as the tinfoil hat lady tells us at the end of her little YouTube clips. Don't get the chip. And they're starting to... Well, they're doing commercials on it now, right? And they're going to let that idea sit with you for a couple of years, and it's going to become, somewhat normalized. And you're going to, so then maybe there's going to be talk about mandatory chips, perhaps. And, the idea won't be quite as freaky, because, you know about it, and you maybe even know someone that has it. And, or maybe you work in a high security place, and you already have to have one. So, who knows? Who knows where it's going? But a lot of people think it is humanity will be chipped, and the possibilities are absolutely frightening if that was the case. Absolutely frightening. Okay, so let's get on to Cynthia McKinney, and then this terrible little commercial from HealthLink telling you to get chipped. Okay, friends, this is the Unbought and Unbossed Show. Hang in there. Be well.
To all of you who are here, I have to say once again how I continue to be amazed by Tun Dr. Mahathir and Tun Dr. Siti for their vision, understanding of politics in the real world, and their willingness to confront the purveyors of evil in order to make the world better for all of us. This conference and tribunal are the culmination of thousands of hours of hard work and is an incredible investment on behalf of justice. Everyone in this room today is hungry for justice, and we're all impatient for peace. War is criminal, and leaders who take their countries to war must be held accountable. But sadly, we need Dr. Mahathir's leadership even more than ever now because of the abject failure of national and international institutions to hold accountable those who have the power to call nations to arms. It was Harris Silajic who said, if you kill one person, you're prosecuted. If you kill 10 people, you're a celebrity. If you kill 250,000 people, you're invited to a peace conference. That, I believe, is an indication of the total and complete collapse of the system of accountability that is supposed to mark the progress of man. Rogue operators are able to foment death and destruction, murder and torture, and general sociopathic recklessness and get away with it. Sometimes those rogue operators are presidents and heads of state. What are the people to do when their justice system fails to render justice? I believe we've seen a proliferation of people's tribunals because it is clear that many national justice systems and our international justice system rarely deliver justice. Shortly after the outbreak of the War on Terror, so-called, the people of Japan came together and correctly saw that amid the failure of international institutions to hold the United States accountable for war crimes in Afghanistan, they themselves would have to do it. So the International Criminal Tribunal for Afghanistan was born. The Japanese tribunal found President George W. Bush guilty of war crimes for attacking civilians with indiscriminate weapons and other arms, and also issued recommendations for banning depleted uranium munitions and other weapons that could indiscriminately harm people. The tribunal recommended compensating the victims in Afghanistan and reforming the United Nations for its failure to stop the U.S.-led operation there. Even in the domestic setting, those seeking justice seldom find it inside U.S. courts. In the United States setting, injustice is all too often reserved for those without money, without power, and without white skin. One need only look at the plight of Hurricane Katrina survivors who still want to go home, but they have no right of return. That's because the developers, facilitated by weak or ineffective elected leadership, swooped in early and quickly and staked their claim to the people's land. Only the financial crisis has slowed the pace of this organized theft. Consequently, Hurricane Katrina survivors themselves organized a people's tribunal to try U.S. elected leaders for committing multiple crimes against their own people. I was a co-convener of this tribunal, and we found all levels of government, including President George W. Bush's executive branch, guilty of crimes against humanity. The Brussels Tribunal, about which we will hear more later, has filed a brief in Spanish courts against U.S. presidents and other heads of government responsible for war crimes and crimes against humanity in Iraq. Unfortunately, under tremendous pressure from the rich and the guilty, Spain is in the process of changing its universal jurisdiction laws, and that removes that venue that was available for the people to get even a hearing. So rather than survey the juridical landscape with despair, some have gone one step further and attempted to serve warrants on the obviously guilty in their capacity as citizens. One such individual is John Boncour, also known as Splitting the Sky. Splitting the Sky is a Mohawk member of the American Indian Movement that was targeted by the United States government in its infamous and illegal counterintelligence program known as COINTELPRO. On March 17th, which just happens to be my birthday, Splitting the Sky gave me a present. He was arrested in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, where he tried to serve a citizen's warrant for the arrest of President George W. Bush, who had been invited to Canada to give a speech. Splitting the Sky has asked me to testify at his March 2010 trial, and I intend to be there. In the advent of this war on terror, it is clear that governments are straying far away from the wishes of the very people who elect them. I served 12 years in the United States Congress, and while I was there, I filed articles of impeachment against George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Condoleezza Rice, voted against every Pentagon appropriation, considering it immoral to spend so much money on war when millions of our children go to bed hungry every night. I wrote legislation to ban the use of depleted uranium munitions, and was the first member of Congress to ask the Bush administration on September 11th, what did it know and when did it know it? In December of 2007, I tried to take humanitarian supplies to the people of Gaza after the outbreak of Operation Cast Lead. And the Israeli military rammed and destroyed the Free Gaza boat that I was on. In June of this year, I tried to take crayons to the children of Gaza, and the Israelis hijacked our boat, kidnapped us, took us to Israel, where I spent 7 days in an Israeli prison just because I wanted the people of Gaza to live as I had been given life myself. George Galloway finally got me into Gaza for 24 hours with the Viva Palestina USA convoy. But the sad thing is that my point of view was a minority position in the powerful halls of Washington, D.C. I left Washington not because I chose to, but because the Israeli lobby inside the United States targeted me. They targeted me because I dared to believe that all human beings, including Palestinians, have human rights. So in 2007, at a peace rally in front of the Pentagon, I declared my independence from the U.S. national leadership that had caused my country to become complicit in war crimes, torture, crimes against humanity, and crimes against the peace. I joined the Green Party and then in 2008 ran for president of the United States. I was able to travel the length and breadth of my country, and I went around the world carrying the message of truth, justice, peace, and dignity. And so that's how I came here to Kuala Lumpur. People who want peace are drawn to Kuala Lumpur. The people of Malaysia long ago learned that there can be no peace where there is no justice. As the coup in Honduras unfolds and countries are able to kill, maim, and attack other people with impunity, we must not give a pass to the new president of the United States, whose slogans were hope and change. Sadly, yes, we can has become, but he didn't really mean that he would. The people of the United States await action on jobs, the economy, the war, budget, education, and health care. Yet President Obama is responsible for overseeing the largest and swiftest transfer of wealth out of the hands of the middle class in the history of mankind. Already over $12 trillion is gone, and another commitment for an additional $12 trillion whenever the bankers need it. Meanwhile, the people of the U.S. scrape by on food stamps, unemployment, and they pray that they don't get sick so they don't become bankrupt. The situation continues to deteriorate, even as Nobel Peace Prize winner President Obama waits to announce his decision to increase the already 68,000-strong U.S. troop presence in Afghanistan. Adding insult to injury, President Obama has sent his Justice Department officials into courtrooms across America to defend the illegal acts of the Bush administration. I have warned the president that he risks becoming an accessory to Bush's crimes if this continues. Now the New York Times has picked up the theme with a headline, Bush's cover-up of abuse turning into Obama's cover-up. But it was President Kennedy who reminded us that we do not want a Pax Americana enforced by U.S. weapons of war. He said what we seek is a genuine peace that makes life on earth worth living. the kind of peace that enables nations to grow and build a better life for their children. If we had true democracy in the United States, we wouldn't have war. And all of this is why we're in Kuala Lumpur. If Kuala Lumpur is the peace capital of the world, then it is here also the justice capital of the world.
To think something so small can connect you to everything that matters.
When your life and all you love
are on the line.
HealthLink is always with you when every second counts in the emergency room, providing immediate access to your medical records.
Because Rob has trouble remembering all his medications.
Because I'm in love with my kids' kids.
Because my car lost control while driving.
Because now I'm looking out for both of us.
Because I have diabetes, but it doesn't have me.
Because I spend my life in the ER trying to save yours.
There you go. If you love your grandkids, you better get the chip, right? And where I was... What I want to say about that is the potential of absolutely horrible things going on with that is, as this New World Order is being built, the American dollar is being weakened. It's being collapsed on purpose. And where this is going to go is a global one-world currency. And so if the population is to be chipped, it would be very easy to basically say that, well, that person right there is an outlaw, and therefore, you know, you can't rent a place, you can't buy food, you can't travel. The possibilities are absolutely frightening. Let's see, a movie that goes in depth on that idea is Zeitgeist, the first one. So that's in the part number three, the final chapter of that movie. So that's something. And then before that, Cynthia McKinney, what a fantastic woman she is, and good for her. And boy, we sure could use some politicians like that, couldn't we? So it is Remembrance Day, and I guess we're being told to remember the sacrifices of the brave and misinformed persons who've gone off to foreign countries to, kill and be killed, supposedly to protect the freedoms that we have in Canada right now. And I am very grateful that we have the freedom of speech still, and because I have a feeling that the powers that be are not too happy with me. However, I am rather critical of these war heroes, as they're called. You know, they went over to fight against dictators and fascism, and now we have fascism right here, and I don't hear a peep out of the vast majority of the veterans. Well, why would they? They've got a coin with their image on it, and very frustrating. A couple of years ago, I was went and visited some of the local legions to talk to the leaders there and encourage them the importance of speaking out about 9/11. You know, something that we can, you know, easily nail these guys on. And they didn't want anything to do with me, and that was really unfortunate for me. And, well, unfortunate for our entire country. You know, these brave people don't seem to be so brave after all. What is that about? You know, the younger soldiers in Canada now, I'm going to blame just the power of propaganda. You know, the TV and the newspaper for keeping them so misinformed that they don't know any better. That's a tough call, isn't it? That's a tough call. So where I'm going to go is, what exactly is fascism? And do we see it here in Canada? Well, yes, we do. And a fellow, Dr. Lawrence Britt, wrote a book about fascism, and he came up with 14 defining characteristics that fascist regimes worldwide have. And many, many of them are indeed very prevalent in Canada right now, and even more so in the States. So the person doing the speaking here is, I'm pretty sure he's a fellow radio host, Mike Malloy, is doing the speaking on it. So we're going to listen to that. And then following that, I'm going to play an anti-war piece. Because that is what I think Remembrance Day should be about. That we should never forget that our leaders will lie to us to get us into war. That, to me, is what Remembrance Day should be about. So, let's get on to that. This is the 14 defining characteristics of fascism, according to Dr. Lawrence Britt, followed by, excuse me, I don't know the young woman's name who is speaking in the following clip. It might be from a documentary called The Paradigm Shift. So that's what you're going to hear next. So let's get on to that.
There are 14 defining characteristics, according to a college professor, Dr. Lawrence Britt, who has examined fascist regimes. There are 14 defining characteristics common to each. So you tell me. Powerful and continuing nationalism. Flags are seen everywhere, flag symbols on clothing, public displays. Disdain for the recognition of human rights. People tend to look the other way or even approve of torture, summary executions, assassinations, long incarcerations of prisoners with no charges. Identifying enemies or scapegoats as a unifying cause, like people are rallied into a unifying patriotic frenzy over the need to eliminate a perceived common threat or foe. Supremacy of the military. Even when there are widespread domestic problems, the military is given a disproportionate amount of government funding. Rampant sexism. Controlled mass media. Obsession with national security. Religion and government are intertwined. Religious rhetoric and terminology is common from government leaders, even when the major tenets of the religion are diametrically opposed to the government's policies or actions. Number 9, corporate power is protected. Number 10, labor power is suppressed. Number 11, disdain for intellectuals and the arts. Free expression in the arts and letters is openly attacked. Number 12, obsession with crime and punishment. Under fascist regimes, the police are given almost limitless power to enforce the laws. Number 13, rampant cronyism and corruption. And number 14, fraudulent elections. Sometimes elections in fascist nations are a complete sham. Fascist nations also typically use their judiciaries to manipulate or control elections. Of the 14 defining characteristics of fascism, Bush's America falls neatly into all 14 categories. Do you disagree?
We have an obligation to every last victim of this illegal aggression because all of this carnage has been done in our name. Since World War II, 90% of the casualties of war are unarmed civilians, a third of them children. Our victims have done nothing to us. From Palestine to Afghanistan to Iraq to Somalia to wherever our next target may be, their murders are not collateral damage. They are the nature of modern warfare. They don't hate us because of our freedoms. They hate us because every day we are funding and committing crimes against humanity. The so-called war on terror is a cover for our military aggression to gain control of the resources of Western Asia. This is sending the poor of this country to kill the poor of those Muslim countries. This is trading blood for oil. This is genocide. And to most of the world, we are the terrorists. In these times, remaining silent on our responsibility to the world and its future is criminal. And in light of our complicity in the supreme crimes against humanity in Iraq and Afghanistan and ongoing violations of the UN Charter and international law, how dare any American criticize the actions of legitimate resistance to illegal occupation? Our so-called enemies in Afghanistan, Iraq, Palestine, our other colonies around the world, and our inner cities here at home are struggling against the oppressive hand of empire, demanding respect for their humanity. They are labeled insurgents or terrorists for resisting rape and pillage by the white establishment, but they are our brothers and sisters in the struggle for justice. The civilians at the other end of our weapons don't have a choice, but American soldiers have choices. And while there may have been some doubt 5 years ago, today we know the truth. Our soldiers don't sacrifice for duty, honor, country. They sacrifice for Kellogg, Brown, and Root. They don't fight for America. They fight for their lives and their buddies beside them because we put them in a war zone. They're not defending our freedoms. They're laying the foundation for 14 permanent military bases to defend the freedoms of ExxonMobil and British Petroleum. They're not establishing democracy. They're establishing the basis for an economic occupation to continue after the military occupation has ended. Iraqi society today, thanks to American help, is defined by house raids, death squads, checkpoints, detentions, curfews, blood in the streets, and constant violence. We must dare to speak out in support of the Iraqi people who resist and endure the horrific existence we brought upon them through our bloodthirsty imperial crusade. We must dare to speak out in support of those American war resistors, the real military heroes who uphold their oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, including those terrorist cells in Washington, D.C., more commonly known as the legislative, executive, and judicial branches. Frederick Douglass said, "Those who profess to favor freedom and yet depreciate agitation are people who want crops without plowing the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the roar of its many waters. The struggle may be a moral one, or it may be a physical one, or it may be both, but it must be a struggle. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. Every one of us must keep demanding, keep fighting, keep thundering, keep plowing, keep speaking, keep struggling until justice is served. No justice, no peace."
Okay, very nice. Again, I don't know the woman's name who said that piece there. Okay, let's carry on. The next audio piece, and it won't be the final one, but it's getting pretty darn close. This is from a new documentary film by Alex Jones. It's called Fall of the Republic, the Presidency of Barack Obama. So let me read you the piece to tell you a little bit about what it is. So Fall of the Republic documents how an offshore corporate cartel is bankrupting the U.S. economy by design. Leaders are now declaring that world government has arrived and that the dollar will be replaced by a new global currency. President Obama has brazenly violated Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution by seating himself at the head of the U.N. Security Council, thus becoming the first U.S. president to chair that world body. A scientific dictatorship is in its final stages of completion, and laws protecting basic human rights are being abolished worldwide. An iron curtain of high-tech tyranny is now descending over the planet. A worldwide regime controlled by an unelected corporate elite is implementing a planetary carbon tax system that will dominate all human activity and establish a system of neo-feudal slavery. The image makers have carefully packaged Obama as the world's savior. He is the Trojan horse manufactured to pacify the people just long enough for the globalists to complete their master plan. This film reveals the architecture of the New World Order and what the power elite have in store for humanity. More importantly, it communicates how we, the people, can retake control of our government, turn the criminal tide, and bring the tyrants to justice. Okay, that was written from the YouTube channel called Inflation US. So let's get on to that, and then I'll come back, say goodbye, and play a final short piece for you. So You are listening to the Unbought and Unbossed show on CHLY. We're also online at www.chly.ca, where you can listen live streaming. Okay, if you missed a show that you would like to listen to, I do archive these shows. Or if you you heard it, but you want to find out, you know, who was that speaking, what was that audio clip you played, you can visit my website. That is unbossed.livejournal.com, unbossed.livejournal.com, and you can listen to previous shows. So let's move on to a clip from the latest Alex Jones piece, Fall of the Republic, Part 1. Okay, friends, take care.
Adolf Hitler bragged that his most powerful domestic tool used by the Nazis to control the people was the servile clergy. And his favorite Bible verse was Romans 13, render unto Caesar.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
The scam was launched as a simple bait and switch. The government recruited the public by telling them that they were needed in the fight against Al-Qaeda. But from day one, over 90% of their training and operations focus on demonizing, surveilling, and harassing anyone who stands against their takeover.
The Department of Homeland Security calling on firefighters to take on a new role in the war on terror. The idea, to be the eyes for the U.S. government when they're inside a home. Now, unlike police officers, firefighters don't need a warrant to go into private houses. And critics say that's where things get sticky.
Cable company repairmen, truck drivers, maid services, and hundreds of other professions that go inside homes and businesses without warrants are now on the government's payroll as citizen snitch spies. But Big Brother doesn't stop there. Children are being indoctrinated inside the public schools nationwide to spy on their parents.
You can give information without having to give your name. You guys can get paid for good tips up to $200.
The New York Times praised public school programs in the United States and England that are training children to report their parents for eco-crimes, like taking a hot bath, or letting the water run while you brush your teeth. All of that violates their carbon footprint credit allotment.
Check it out, check it out. That's where we come in. We're the carbon cops and we're on the lookout for energy wasters.
Our job is to get all Australian households to cut their carbon emissions.
So Carbon Cops is the program that looked at energy use in a domestic sense. We went into people's houses and got them to reduce their energy use by 50%.
Sadly, the Boy Scouts of America have now contracted with the Department of Homeland Security and are now training more than 20,000 Boy Scouts in anti-terror urban warfare mount training. The federal grants are very specific. The scouts are trained to carry out seek and destroy missions against disgruntled veterans of the U.S. Armed Forces.
Good evening, everyone. Homeland Security is enlisting some unlikely new recruits to fight terrorism and help with other emergencies. The Girl Scouts. Girl Scouts across the country and here in East Tennessee are now taking part.
9-year-old Elise Murphy has already earned a lot of Girl Scout patches.
And now, every member of the 3.4 million Girl Scouts of America is now being trained by the Federal Emergency Management Agency to aid and support Homeland Security in disaster and anti-terror operations.
One of the things that if you talk to our generals, they are desperate for is a civilian counterpart to our military forces.
Everybody somewhere between the ages of 18 and 25 will serve 3 months of basic training and understanding in a kind of civil defense.
So is this compulsory then?
Well, you have to, in a sense, it's a required of everybody, 18 to 25, 3 months, and at some point at that point, you do.
Creating citizen armies in one way is, you know, it's disgusting. Because what you do is you get young kids and you can mold their minds easily. And we saw them chanting and crying, and they'll follow any leader, whether it's in a black shirt, a brown shirt, a red shirt, whatever the shirt might be.
another branch of Homeland Security. The Corporation for National and Community Service is setting up literally hundreds of other private uniformed youth groups. The White House has introduced legislation to establish forced national service for all Americans between the ages of 16 and 64. In 2008, the North American Military Governorship, known as NORTHCOM, announced that they had deployed 4,000 regular Army troops inside the United States to deal with civil unrest because they knew that their offshore masters were about to rob the United States blind. In 2009, the Pentagon requested funding from Congress to deploy 379,000 military personnel in thousands of communities across the United States. And now, legislation has been introduced in Congress to expand a system of FEMA concentration camps across the United States under the National Emergency Centers Act, H.R. 645. The Republic is hanging by a thread. The last vestiges of our free system of government are being swept away.
You know, you got time to watch baseball, you got time to watch football, you got time to entertain yourself, but I think a knowledgeable public we're losing, and we've got to get people back on track to paying attention, because if you don't pay attention to your government and what they're doing, you're going to pay some dire consequences for it.
Unless we become active and become influential in the power centers of society, there's nothing we can do about it. Just knowing about it is not enough. And as long as we are given at election time an option between the Republican candidate or the Democrat candidate, both of whom have been selected by members of the Council on Foreign Relations, and both of whom have the same general policies, that's not going to change anything either. So the real issue is, so what? And the answer is, we've got to recapture control of the power centers of society.
The people have a decision to make. Our nation has been seized in the jaws of a global corporate takeover. The Republic is passing into history. We're losing our freedoms. And it's up to every man, woman, and child in the United States to decide whether we're going to be fooled by the slick propaganda of the social engineers or whether we're going to restore the Republic.
The values expressed by our founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence and other documents are very important to these times, and it's now our chance to manifest those documents.
Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country, because the country is being stolen from us in broad daylight. Not only stolen metaphorically, but financially as well. The numbers don't lie.
The American people, having been educated as to the truth, then have to rise up and demand and get a government that starts serving them. We need a change, and it isn't going to come from Democrats and Republicans. It has to come from the American people.
Dissension is the greatest form of patriotism, and I believe that. Because if you don't hold your elected officials' feet to the fire and pay attention, you are going to get bad government. So it's imperative for all of us. It's our job as citizens of this great country to pay attention.
This is our last chance to not relive history. Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. America is a prize coveted by the despotic megacorporations that now dominate our planet. If their world government is truly to rise, freedom and the republic for which it stands must fall. Now is the time for all good men and women to come to the aid of their country. One of the greatest events in history is taking place before our very eyes. For many generations into the future, our progeny will look back on this time as either a place where humanity rose to the challenge and made a stand against the forces of darkness, or a time when the planet fell into the grip of a merciless high-tech tyranny.
Ouch, that doesn't sound too good. Okay, there it is. That's the new Alex Jones film, Fall of the Republic. And it is 10 o'clock, so that will be the end of tonight's version of Unbought and Unbossed. Stay tuned for APAC. And who's that? The almost professional amateur comedian show. So be well out there, friends, and we'll do it again next week. My guest is going to be Kenny Brault, I believe is how it's said. We're going to be talking about 9/11. Okay, friends, be well out there.